The Biden administration announced it's launching a new White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. President Biden said on Friday that the office will have four main objectives.
First, to expedite the implementation of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act and the executive actions already announced. And I mean it. We're going to fully implement them. Second, coordinate more support for survivors, families, and communities affected by gun violence, including mental health care, financial assistance, the same way FEMA responds to natural disasters. Same way. And helps folks recover and rebuild and alter. Look, folks, shootings are the ultimate superstorm, ripping through communities. Third, identify new executive actions we can take within our legal authority to reduce gun violence. And fourth, expand our coalition of partners in states and cities across America.
The Biden administration has pushed for an assault weapons ban and other gun control legislation, but has gotten little movement from Congress outside of the bipartisan Safer Communities Act passed last year. Gun safety advocates are praising the formation of the office as a step in the right direction in the absence of further legislative action. According to the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, the U.S. stands out among high-income countries around the world. Quoting from a report last year, age-adjusted firearm homicide rates in the U.S. are 22 times greater than in the European Union, 23 times greater than in Australia. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the White House forming this Office of Gun Violence Prevention? Do you think it could make a difference? What would you want to see from the White House? And how about from Congress when it comes to preventing gun violence? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Theodore Lentz is an assistant professor of criminal justice and criminology at UW-Milwaukee. He researches the criminal legal system, gun violence, and community justice. Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Big picture, how significant is this to have this White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention?
Big picture, I think this is a really positive step forward. Anytime you're bringing more resources to address any issue or any problem that we're having, it signals that more effort is going to be put into this problem. Of course, it depends the degree to which it's going to make a difference is going to depend on what they're actually going to do, how much funding will be coming through them, what the funding will be used for, et cetera. But I think it's an important step and an important signal that we're going to start taking gun violence more seriously.
When we look over the last few decades, we've saw peaks in homicides, often gun homicides in the 80s and 90s. They declined for a while, went back up in conjunction with COVID. But compared, as I mentioned in that report, to other countries, our rates are generally pretty high compared to other comparable nations like in Europe, in Australia. Do we pay attention to that number? Is this just something we take for granted in the U.S., do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Americans, tend to think of us as an outlier, and I think that we are an outlier certainly when it comes to gun violence, and I think that it's an important sign of something. I mean, in American culture, I think that gun violence is part of it in a lot of ways, and the widespread availability of firearms, there's a lot of reasons why we as a country have a much larger problem with gun violence than others.
We heard President Biden there list the fourth point, aiming at expanding a coalition of partners in states and cities across America to deal with gun violence. You've done some work, I understand, with community groups aimed at preventing gun violence victimization. Can you talk about what kind of programs you've seen?
Yeah, sure. The community-based approaches to gun violence prevention tend to work. They use sort of a different strategy. Usually it's more of a public health approach to gun violence prevention. And that approach is kind of identifying, what is the problem? What are the causes and the risk factors? And then, when we find out what works to address some of those, what do we do about it? And community-based approaches are, I would say, increasingly being used across the U.S., where you're really bringing the existing community resources into the strategy, rather than relying entirely, for instance, on law enforcement to use, you know, what they typically do, you know, which is investigate incidents, making arrests, things like that. The public health approach, you know, community-based approaches, that they also violence interruption, for instance, is one common strategy. Violence interruption works on this idea that you know, that gun violence, it's not a random event. It's concentrated in geographic space. There are certain places that are at much higher risk than other places, and it's also concentrated among people. A lot of times when you look at perpetrators of gun violence, it's a relatively small number of people that are believed to be responsible for the majority of the violence. And so identifying who those people are, and then finding ways to interrupt the potential, the violent conflicts. So in some cities we're seeing where these community organizations are hiring folks from the community, people that can serve sort of as credible messengers to bring about a, you know, a message of nonviolence and trying to stop the violence. And they can also work with hospitals, trauma centers. We see that here in Milwaukee, where there are dedicated folks, staff members at hospitals that are responding to when someone comes in with a shooting injury, and they're able then to kind of figure out what services are needed, how to provide more support for that individual, for their families, their friends, and their community. You know, it's another touch point where we can start to get down into what are the underlying causes, what sort of social context is allowing violence to thrive in this way. And so thinking outside of just law enforcement strategies is one way that that we're seeing some promise.
When I've talked to other people about violence interrupter programs, it seems like some communities have had a pattern that goes something like this. A community gets grants to start up a program like this. It shows some signs of promise. The grant runs out. They scramble to sustain it, but without the initial funding, it's hard to keep going. Are you hoping that maybe something like this announcement from the White House could start to create more sustainable frameworks where you do it not just for whatever, a 3-year grant period or something, but have a permanent sort of violence interruption program?
Yeah, that's a great point. That tends to be the case where you have, yeah, some soft money that's supporting these initiatives, and then you know, sometimes it takes a while too. Some of, you know, like trying to change cultural norms around the use of firearms and violence to settle disputes and things like that, it can take some time. And so, right, sustainability of these programs is really hard. They tend to be really expensive. It takes a lot of people power. It takes a lot of institutional power to maintain these programs and these initiatives. And so, yes, definitely. And, you know, back to the first point that anytime you're going to bring more, potentially bring more resources to the issue, it should be it can be a positive thing, because that is kind of the Achilles heel of a lot of community-based prevention work.
Talking to Ted Lentz, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Criminology at UW-Milwaukee, talking about efforts to bring down gun violence in the United States. The White House announced a new Office for Gun Violence Prevention late last week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think might work? What do you worry about when you hear about programs like this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Mark is with us in Milwaukee. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Mark?
Well, so on the surface, it sounds great, you know, a new government office to address what's obviously a serious problem, living in a major metropolitan city. You know, clearly gun violence is a problem. But even in the president's message, he seems to be rolling like his whole agenda into one. He mentioned these, what we call the so-called assault weapon ban, because nobody can really define what an assault weapon is. You know, there's supposed to be checks and balance. That's checks and balances. That's where government was set up. And the ATF is clearly overreached. The governor of New Mexico recently tried a huge overreach, and they're using this public health emergency concept that worked so well during COVID to try to exert executive power over things that the legislature doesn't want to take on.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there from Mark, the New Mexico issue. He mentioned the governor, the latest there, I think declared a public health effort, saying that overrides the ability of people to carry guns publicly. Ted, as Mark mentioned, a lot of checks and balances issues, a lot of constitutional issues that we might run up against as we try to think of solutions to gun violence. Does that make things complicated, or do you think there's a lot of room to work even within that?
A little bit of both. Obviously, those constitutional issues, the political issues that are just historically and contemporarily making it difficult for developing policy. But I think, you know, taking a bit of a step back in the broader context of, you know, if we are kind of taking this public health approach, I mean, we've identified a problem, right? We're starting to collect systematically more data so we can start tracking, is this problem getting bigger? Is it getting smaller? You know, who's affected? You know, are there important disparities to consider, et cetera? And then once you're able to do that, then you start thinking about, well, what are the causes and the risk factors? Before you can start talking about, well, what works and how do we do more of what works? And so I think at least the research community is, you know, we're just starting to get into the what works question, starting to do more evaluations. You know, there are obviously case studies and things like that we can work from, but we still don't have a good sense of what works. There was a big effort by by a private research organization at one point to look at gun policies and their effects. And basically the research is not strong enough to make any firm conclusions about what works and what doesn't. And so, you know, from a researcher standpoint, I think that the research community is in a really important place right now where, you know, we do need the resources in order to start tapping into these questions and trying to answer them so that we can develop policies that are rooted in what we know about gun violence.
We're talking to UW-Milwaukee criminal justice and criminology professor Ted Lentz about the White House launching a new Office for Gun Violence Prevention. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important an issue is gun violence prevention to you? Whose responsibility is it to reduce gun violence? Do you want to see the Biden administration and or Congress do more to tackle the issue? Have you seen efforts maybe in your own community? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Ted Lentz. He's an assistant professor of criminal justice and criminology at UW-Milwaukee, who studies gun violence, community response, and the criminal legal system. He's with us today for a look at the newly announced White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, what impact it might have on the issue, and what we do and don't know about preventing gun violence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Go back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Eau Claire. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I'm very much in favor of this initiative by the White House. I feel that we have to take more and more creative ways to combat this issue. I think that we have been kind of beat up and cornered with our own Constitution. These Second Amendment advocates have kind of put us in a position where we have no other choice but to do this. So I hope that the funding is there. I hope that it stays, and I hope that it grows. I think this is one solution of many we have to go after.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Ted, does our divisive politics when it comes to guns and gun control interfere, you think, with the work you were talking about earlier of trying to figure out causes of gun violence and measure solutions and whether and how they work?
I mean, it gets in the way insofar as it prevents the resources, the funding needed to do good research. You know, if the funding is not there, or it's very, you know, inconsistent and unstable, it makes it difficult to really evaluate a program or a strategy or a policy for its effectiveness. You know, in the same way that we would, you know, we got to know how, you know, it's about creating data systems and things like that, again, to track changes over time, so that we can start identifying the ones that do and don't work. And if we're constantly kind of taking our foot off the gas, it leaves these gaps in the research. It leaves gaps in, you know, if you think of it like a public health problem, in the dosage of the treatment that communities are receiving. You know, if that's intermittent and it's not consistent, it's not stable, that makes it really hard not only for the program or the policy to work or to be effective as it was intended to be, but also for the research community to be able to give us some better answers as to the effectiveness questions.
Thanks a lot for that call. We heard President Biden earlier refer to that previously passed piece of legislation, the bipartisan Safer Communities Act. One of the things that does is go out and works with schools, or at least that's the goal, giving grants to schools to, quote, create, to establish safer and healthier learning environments, prevent and respond to acts of bullying, violence, and hate, and also to give mental health support to schools. Ted, how much can we do at the school level when it comes to supporting students and, I guess, using the educational process to help prevent violence?
Well, I think it's really important to get as many folks at the table as we can to deal with this problem. It's not just a law enforcement problem. It's not just a mental health system problem. It's not just an education, you know, educational or you know, a lot of systems are kind of implicated in this. And they're all intertwined. And so, yeah, I think that working with the schools and ensuring, you know, because gun violence is concentrated in places and among people who, you know, tend to have many other of these sort of co-occurring outcomes co-occurring negative outcomes. And so when we think of gun violence prevention, it could be, you know, the other pieces to that puzzle might be better access to healthcare and food security. It could be, you know, housing access, education. All of these systems are kind of related to one another. They're all affecting one another. And so if we can leverage the resources of other systems, I think that's a really good way about to go about it.
We'll go back to our callers now. Terry joins us in Fifield. Terry, hi.
Hey, hi. My question is really kind of simple. This is all on gun violence, but if you take away the guns, they're going to grab a knife. If you take away the knife, they're going to grab a club. Why aren't we just delving in on the problem of violence and getting rid of that?
Terry, thanks a lot for the call. I'm looking at an FBI chart. Their most recent date is 2019. About 3/4 of homicides in the U.S. are guns, firearms of one sort or another. But Terry raises a really interesting question, Ted. Is this a gun violence problem or is it a gun violence problem? Should we be talking about preventing violence more generally, or is there something particular about gun violence that we're worried about?
I think it's both. I think a lot of the violence prevention efforts more generally, work for gun violence as well. And so I think that the nature of the violence problem, especially here in America, being gun violence, it's a question. The research community has been dealing with this for a long time. Some people refer to it as firearm instrumentality, and thinking about, well, you know, right, if somebody is motivated enough to engage in violence, it doesn't really matter what tool they use. And, you know, it's hard to say in a given event or incident whether, if the gun wouldn't have been present, had the violence still happened. One thing that we do have some, you know, there's considerable evidence out there suggesting, though, that firearms do make violent encounters more lethal. And so when we're thinking of loss of life, as opposed to having a non-fatal violent encounter, the research is pretty clear that the presence of a firearm does make these encounters more lethal. And so when we think of, you know, the ability to injure and or kill somebody from a further distance away, when you look at fatal shootings versus non-fatal shootings, a lot of times there's not a whole lot of difference in sort of the contextual or the situational characteristics of the incidents. And so what that tells us then is that at the same time, when you do have more wounds, the placement of the wounds.
I will have to leave it there. Sorry, Ted Lentz is assistant professor of criminal justice and criminology at UW-Milwaukee.